Our planet is in crisis. The climate is collapsing. A great extinction is taking place now. Our species has created this crisis, actively poisoning our own habitat for trivial short-term gain. Leaders and systems everywhere have constantly failed to do anything about the crisis. We are now at Code Red. Survival of our species, the future of our children, and those who share the planet with us is at stake. Can you spare 5 minutes to save the Earth? Hi, I'm Ray Katz. This episode is called Why the Powerful Climate Destroyers Are Vulnerable. They are wealthy, amoral, and determined to maximize profits regardless of the consequences for the planet, or even the consequences for their own grandchildren. That's the behavior and psychology of fossil fuel executives and other ultra-wealthy fossil fuel profiteers. They tell a compelling story. They are part of a system that rewards greed and even portrays the market system as the best possible way of living and doing things. After all, profit works to motivate people to be productive, to fill needs. And because of the way our civilization has been built, we must continue engorging on fossil fuels or face collapse, starvation, and disaster. The wealthy people and their powerful corporations are essential, and it would be madness to oppose them. We have no real alternative. Furthermore, they are entrenched, and fighting them would be useless. And even if we succeeded in dislodging them, it may already be too late to prevent climate disaster. This story and way of thinking is pretty convenient for the status quo. Or haven't you noticed? Grain of truth, but entire beaches of lies. We do face a daunting task. The systems in place are powerful and protect themselves. They are speeding us towards disaster, and life without fossil fuels seems impossible at this point. Furthermore, as ordinary human beings working hard simply to get by in a world of uncertainty and day-to-day struggles, we can't seem to mount a meaningful challenge. But that's all false. The predominant story, excuses really, is one that immobilizes us and conveniently enables fools who trash and burn the planet to continue unimpeded. This is not the only story. There is a better story, which happens to also be a truer story. The evidence of science and history. The science says we are in big trouble, that our biosphere has been damaged and is getting worse. But we have not yet reached the point of no return. Even some of the most worried climate scientists, like James Hansen, are still trying to motivate leaders to take action. Climate scientists mostly want action because the evidence suggests there is still time, although we are getting dangerously close to a fatal feedback loop. The other part of doomerist surrender is that, even if we aren't technically doomed, we cannot overcome the political, economic, cultural systems that are determined to keep us on the current deadly course. We are too weak, and the foolish fossil fuel profiteers are too strong. History says otherwise. I mean real history, not the popular and deceptive great man theory of history, which is pernicious nonsense. The fact is that ordinary people have changed history, dislodged strongmen, ended empires. This has happened many times and continues to happen to the present day. We often hear that popular uprisings never succeed, that when they do succeed, it's really dark forces of secret power behind it. But the people who start big changes have learned that not only can ordinary people change events in history, but they can learn how to do it and how to do it better. There is a known blueprint, but alas, no formula, for bringing about massive change. So we can take aim at making the massive change we need now. We can work effectively at dislodging the fossil fuel economy, preventing climate collapse, and stabilizing the climate. and replacing existing failing systems with sustainable and humane ones. Reading history and canvas. I've been reading history, especially the history of movements. We can learn from nearly any movement. Many of them were partly successful, and in those cases, we can learn from both the successful parts and those that failed. It seems to me that change is hard, but that the hardest part is the ending. It's easier to dislodge a bad actor than to ensure that what comes next is better. This can be done, but quite often the leaders of movements fail at that part. A group that helped lead a successful movement and ousted the dictator of Serbia and established genuine elective government afterward, well, they founded a group offering advice to movements. This group is called Canvas. Take a look at them at canvasopedia.org. I urge you to do so. While I won't try to describe everything I've learned or everything that Canvas teaches here, I would like to make a few points. Number one, violence is both morally wrong and ineffective. Nonviolent movements have both a better record of success and a better record of ensuring that the new boss doesn't behave like the old boss. This is largely because when it comes to firepower, the existing governments have a decisive advantage. Nonviolent movements get more support because the personal risk is smaller, you are less likely to be shot, and fortunately, people really dislike violence. Number two, successful movements put the old order into no-win situations, where whatever the dictator or segregationist or slaveholder does, he will be worse off than before. In a no-win dilemma, using violence to stop resistance wins more support for the resistance, and doing nothing highlights weaknesses and vulnerability of the status quo. Number three, well-run movements use a strategy to weaken what are called pillars of support upon which the opponent depends. The loyalty of important people or institutions is weakened or peeled away. At some point, the opponent is too weak to continue, loses control, and often flees into exile. Number four, solid movements offer an alternative and more appealing culture than the prevalent one. Some modern movements have a tone that feels like a party or a rock concert or a circus. There is, in fact, power in fun. The key concept is the pillars of support. Nearly every planned action by a strong movement takes aim at one or more of the pillars of support. That's what our climate group, the Saners, will be doing. That and spreading our message, building our numbers, learning the discipline and skills for more effectively carrying out our actions. Please join us. Thanks for listening. I'm Ray Katz. We have 8 billion people on the planet. Too many people. At least 1 billion of us are aware of the crisis we face and desperately want to help. But we feel alone, anxious, and powerless. But we are not alone. Find the others. Tell them we can do this. We can work together. We can change things. In fact, only we can do this. Talk with the others. Tell them about this podcast. Let's get together. Let's find our way. Let's take 5 minutes to save the Earth.